I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 9th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. The second Tuesday of the new year, officially. And so thanks for coming along for the ride. It is an interesting ride, a wild and dystopic ride. It gets wilder and stranger every day. An anecdote, a story or two on that note that I will share momentarily, I suppose. But first, some announcements, shall we? Happy New Year. It is a brave new year. So Happy New Year. Oh. I thought we finished. My understanding was that the book drive was over. So, surprise, guess what? The book drive is not over. And so that's exciting news. I did not know that. Yes. Okay. It's extended. Do we have a deadline on that or not? Maybe I should check the website. Check the website for details. Starting November 5th, January 22nd. Okay. There is, on the page, second annual John Stabmiller book drive. It says RBN will be conducting an ongoing book drive starting November 5th. What do you call that? Is that an M dash or an N dash? I'm not sure which one that is, but one of the dashes. And then January 8th, 2024, next bullet point, donations of $100 or more. Take it from November 5th. And again, M dash or N dash, not sure which one that is. But next it says January 22nd. But that should probably be an ND instead of a TH, I'm guessing. Okay. Well, but what I'm saying is January 8th probably needs to be changed. And January 22nd needs to be changed to 22nd, I'm guessing. I don't know. Anyway, details on the website, second annual John Stab Miller Book Drive extension. It's not over yet. Two more brave new weeks into the new year. So, this week's book is none other than, I probably shouldn't talk about this week because I'll get in trouble based on what I said last week, which I intend to continue at some point. America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations by William J. Federer. I am deeply grateful for a copy that I received from a faithful listener. And, you know, the history is problematic. Were there Christians in our midst? Yes, and there still are, absolutely. But America's the history of America is one of intrigue and deception. You know, I've talked in the past about the duality of the history. Really, America was intended to be what Manly P. Hall wrote about. Bad guys incubated America from the very, very beginning. The nonconformists were part of the effort to, you know, foment feigned or manufactured religious persecution so that people would flee, come over here, manifest destiny, expand. But this would be a different kind of place, and it is a different kind of place. It has a different kind of feel. You can even say other places. You know, you can say other countries, and it just has the feel of 1,000 to 5,000 years or whatever of history. People that come from other places, that's how it feels. Here, it feels like a tabula rasa from generation to generation. We don't know history here. We don't even know our own history. How do I know? I need to just do the announcements, not get ahead of myself. So remind me if I forget to tell the story of Pledge. We don't even know our own history. Nonetheless, this is an important book. William J. Federer's America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations. It's important, speaking of history, if for no other reason than to know our history and to be able to honestly and earnestly seek it out and understand it. I believe that's a significant reason why we have the Bible as well, which is his story. Uppercase H-I-S story. Anyway, and there are those who constantly want to adulterate it in, what is it, Daniel 7:25 sort of fashion. He will intend to change times and laws. I think it's Daniel 7:25. Anyway, back to the announcements. Second annual John Stad Miller Book Drive. Make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win. Entrants who do not win will be added to subsequent week's drawings. That includes folks who've already entered, I presume, going into this week, William J. Federer's America's God and Country. Congratulations to previous winners. Thank you for your support. Joyce, Lynn, Charles, Linda, Peter, Claudia, thank you. And everyone else who is being added to this week's drawing. Thank you for your support. There's also the quilt raffle. For details, see the post on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. See the post titled RBN's New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Razor. And the lucky winner of the Rabble Razor will receive a packaged gift containing a Confederate battle flag quilt. South's going to do it again. And what if the Native American folks do it again too? Who knows? Could be an interesting future in America. Who knows? Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, and bumper stickers. Man, that's awesome. To participate, call 800-724-2719 and leave a gift of $250 or more. And if you've already donated in the last several weeks, between December 10th and 31st, well, from December 10th forward, I guess, right here, December 10th and 31st, and want to participate, you're eligible to join in. Just call and let us know. 800-724-2719, extension 3. I think that does it, right? Please support the network. It is listener supported. It is probably, we will never receive a Ford Foundation grant or a Knight Foundation, MacArthur, you know, never going to be part of these fun things. I don't think that known terrorists like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn are going to, you know, recommend that we get Annenberg money. So listener support is vital and essential, and your support is greatly appreciated. So thank you. Fun things on this day. Richard Nixon, Richard Milhouse Nixon, was born. And so that's a fun fact for the day. On this day, Toyota and Datsun made their first appearance in the United States in 1958. And then in 2007, Apple introduced the 4.5 by 2.4 inch Apple iPhone. That escalated quickly. And also on this day in 2011, Congresswoman Giffords and 12 others were shot in Arizona, which reminds me of something interesting. You know, I said that I was going to get into this gun stuff more going into this year, and I will. What is going on here? Why are you not cooperating? But I just thought this is interesting. Let me get back to my story in a moment. Two articles in The Guardian, of all places. A Reuters article in The Guardian. Court ruling clears way for California to ban carrying guns in most public places. Starting 1 January, gun owners in the state may not carry in sensitive places, quote unquote, such as hospitals, playgrounds, and stadiums. There are a lot of people carrying in hospitals, playgrounds, and stadiums. No, that's not what that's for. Maybe we'll talk about that. But I thought this was really interesting. Speaking of The Guardian, guns and lies and gentrification. These are a couple of subjects this apparently deals with. Guns and Lies is a series in The Guardian, which is fun and interesting, except not. And then cities is gentrification is a cities category. Or maybe we should say taxonomy. Anyway, this article from December of 2023 is interesting. Gun violence. Gun violence rate higher in gentrified neighborhoods, study finds. Did you hear about that? Researchers found firearm injury incidence rate was 62% higher in neighborhoods gentrified between 2014 and 2019. There was a lot going on between 2014 and 2019, things that we have forgotten because we're goldfish and we're whipsawed by the shock doctrine so much, and disaster capitalism and fun things like that. So the report found that the firearm injury incidence rate was 62% higher in neighborhoods that had gentrified between 2014 and 2019, the article reads, than non-gentrifying neighborhoods. And this Guardian article gets it right. The word is higher than, T-H-A-N, and people everywhere of all demographics apparently have mental decay of their faculties happening, because usually they, I'm seeing, is it just they don't, you know, is it an autocorrect? Is it a voice to text thing? Is everybody doing that now? Is AI just writing everyone's posts? Usually it would be, if you see it on social media, it would be higher than, right? T-H-E-N. But that's if then, not higher than. I don't know about you. It's a pet peeve. Where is the line? If you don't correct that, then, you know. I digress. So, higher than in non-gentrifying neighborhoods with similar socio-demographic characteristics. On top of that, it found that the gunshot injury rate was an additional 26% higher in neighborhoods that were actively gentrifying, which is an interesting, you know, actively communitarianizing or something like that. Communitarianizing or something. There's probably a portmanteau in there somewhere. Study didn't specify who was committing the violence. Now that's an interesting fun fact, parenthetically. Parenthetically inserted. So Molly Jarman, researcher and professor at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and one of the co-authors on the study, says that the social disruption and residential displacement associated with gentrification might explain the findings. Quote, there's evidence that communities with good social cohesion have less violence. Okay. She said, such as when people live near each other, go to the same schools, offices, and churches, but rising home prices that force longtime residents to relocate can disrupt cohesion. Yeah. It means people who have known each other for a very long time and seen each other and understand and respect and get along are no longer seeing each other every day. Gentrification, the process where wealthier people move into poor urban areas, raising housing prices, bringing new businesses, and often displacing previous residents, is rampant in California. According to a 2020 study by the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, 5 of the country's 20 most intensely gentrified cities are located in the state: San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, Sacramento, San Diego, and Los Angeles. But, you know, Gavin cleans the state up when dignitaries like Xi show up in town, so it's all good. Reading the study felt like a validation of what we've been saying for decades, said Joel Bernal, the organizing director at the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, an Oakland-based advocacy organization focused on prisons, policing, and community development. In his work, Bernal regularly speaks with residents who are contending with rising housing prices in neighborhoods they've long called home, and ensuing cultural changes like grocery stores that stop carrying certain hair care products or restaurants that no longer serve longtime favorites. It creates a lot of anxiety, uncertainty, and it creates a lot of stress for the community who is trying to hold on and try to stay there, said Bernal. Interesting article in all. And, you know, again, I think it's interesting the parenthetical insertion. The study didn't specify who was committing the violence. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Just to sort of finish this article, gosh, it's so funny what we're doing with language. Studies looking at gentrification in Chicago, San Francisco, New Orleans, and Washington, D.C. all noted that police stops and arrests, especially for unhoused people, what? Unhoused people and sex workers, what? What? It's just amazing what we're doing with language, how perverted the language, the English language in America is becoming. It's really astonishing. But, you know, we can't even get pronouns right without being, you know, jackbooted and whatever. So, or at least that's what we're told from here and there. And I think that's more of a psyop than anything. Because, you know, you keep reading these articles, the, you know, even the woke contingent, so to speak, the bleeding edge of the cultural Marxist Bolshevik crusade, writes using gender pronouns they decry. So, you know, it's insane. The perversion of language is indicative of the perversion of society. And that's not good. Definitely not good. Just to sort of round out the article, George Tita, a professor of criminology at the University of California, Irvine, says that there's an enormous body of literature on how gentrification impacts crime, going back more than 100 years to the 19th century Paris. Theories from that literature include the concept of social disruption, as well as the idea that policing and therefore arrests increase in gentrifying neighborhoods. And that's an interesting discussion, the sociological underpinnings of all of that and the usual coterie of bad guy intellectuals leading the charge to do that. Anyway, continuing further in the article, Tita believes, studies looking at gentrification, I read that, the gun violence archive data that researchers used for this study includes information on officer-involved incidents. Tita believes it is key that researchers look at specific kinds of violence so that we can formulate interventions. I'm sure Bill Gates would definitely agree with you, and we should probably use Daryl Huff's suggestions so that we can find specific kinds of violence to formulate interventions. Because after all, we have a responsibility to protect and probably to prevent, right? Much of his own research, for example, has looked at the relationship between gentrification, gang violence, and homicide. And this is interesting, though. He said, there is no such thing as a gun violence problem. There is domestic violence that involves guns. There's gang violence that involves guns. There's interpersonal friends getting into an argument that involves guns. There's the accidental discharge of firearms. I guess desk pops are a problem in America, maybe, in gentrifying or gentrified neighborhoods. There is suicide, he said. Without knowing the categorization of that violence, it's really hard to come up with policies to combat and address and try to reduce gun violence. That's kind of interesting. But, you know, I go back to, what about a society that is trending toward psychological disturbance? An increasingly disturbed, neurotic, morose kind of society. What about that? It's an unhealthy society, especially in these cities. And even the study, even the title of it, validates that point. Gun violence rate higher in gentrified neighborhoods, study finds. So, you know, what do you do? There has to be a better way. And maybe families, maybe not broken families, maybe, you know, it's interesting. If you read the Bible, it doesn't say your parents. You know, honor your father and mother. And in today's America, I suppose, you know, today's American vernacular, we'd have to say your biological father and your biological mother. Which go without saying, you know. Not honor your non-binary parents. Not your cis parents or whatever the heck. Honor your father and mother. Maybe if we went that direction, be a solid foundation, and we'd be less likely to have these kinds of problems. I don't know. Crazy idea, but just thought I'd throw it out there. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We don't know history. Most of us have not read the 9/11 Commission report. Don't realize that, you know, as I said late last year, most people don't realize that, for example, the 9/11 Commission report mentions the fact that, you know, you look at the story of Black Hawk Down. You get in trouble for this stuff, probably, you know. The first war movie released post 9/11, very, very patriotic. And does Hollywood ever get memos from Mockingbird? You know, Mockingbird memos? Absolutely. I mean, movies don't get produced without Mockingbird memos. That's how that works. Very patriotic. The flag is backwards throughout the movie. This is before the army adopted the assaulting flag. Assaulting flag. That's interesting. I would call it something else, something more like a subverted flag, an infiltrated flag. That was before the army adopted it officially. Movie was made before September 11, 2001. So, that's interesting. And some decisions were made already to try to create this, you know, Nazi-like division of Heimatland Security or Homeland Security. But the 9/11 Commission report even mentions that Somali forces were influenced and trained to some extent by Al-Qaeda. Well, how do you suppose that happened just in time? And why was the press there on the ground to meet the SEALs upon their clandestine arrival? Interesting. Press corps was there on the beach in the dark. And all through town to record the failure, the surprising failure. What did that result in? So, you know, and of course, where did Al-Qaeda come from? Who created Al-Qaeda? Interesting. We don't know our own history. All right, let me finish this article. Jose Bernal, the organizing director at the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, an Oakland-based advocacy organization focused on prisons, policing, and community development. Mentioned that already. To the end of the article, Bernal and his colleagues at the Ella Baker Center say that investing in prevention is key. Right. It's the communitarian way, right, dear comrades? It's the, you know, it's the Bolsheviks wrapped in smart power clothing. It's not hard power anymore unless it has to be, but, you know, don't make us do that. We don't want to do that. We just want to do smart power and maybe soft power. We want to start with soft power. Look, we're friendly. Okay, we'll escalate to smart power, and if you make us, then, you know, let the bloodletting begin. Anyway. Bernal and his colleagues at the Ella Baker Center say that investing in prevention is key. These people, I think in most cases, don't realize what an evil thing it is that they're doing. But, you know, they think they're doing a great thing. Pointing to Oakland's Department of Violence Prevention, which was founded in 2017 as an alternative to the police department, as an example. What did Bernays write? Not Bernays, I'm sorry. Bertrand Russell, in The Impact of Science on Society, about this. Chapter 2. The subject of mass psychology is very important. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions are generated. Well, you know, mass psychology, the social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children on whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. Various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. Everybody wants to get Junior into pretty school, as the kids say. pretty school, you know, preschool, kindergarten, something, you know, 5, 4, 3, no age is too young. Sports are a good military primer, so we got to get junior into peewee football and things like that at, you know, age 4 and 5, because that's, you know, of course, it's the American way. Hail Sparta. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. Fourth, that the opinion that snow is white must be held to show a morbid taste for eccentricity. But Russell wrote, I anticipate it is for future scientists to make these maxims precise and discover exactly how much it costs per head to make children believe that snow is black and how much less it would cost to make them believe it is dark gray. Although the science would be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class because, as he mentioned in chapter 3, Johann Gottlieb Fitta laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will, so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. Diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce a sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy. Welcome to 2030. You own nothing, and you've never been happier, because the government will tell them that they're so. The propaganda organs, the Mockingbird, will tell them that they're so. The mighty Wurlitzer will tell them they're so. So, although this science will be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. And here's the punchline. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated, which probably brings me to the story of the pledge. Populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. But we still have guns and we still have... Yeah, that's part of the so-called civil war that's being fomented here in America. The clash of civilizations that's incubating, the cauldron, the bubbling brew, so that at the appropriate time there's an excuse to disarm everyone entirely, which is coming, but you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're encouraged to get ahead of ourselves. So anyway, populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions are generated. Let me tell a couple of stories, I suppose, quickly. A couple of related stories. I had occasion to visit a local gun club recently during their monthly meeting. And like all good, you know, patriotic American organizations, they began their meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. Began with the pledge. All right, would you please place your hand over your heart? And I, you know, really had to resist the urge to do the Bellamy salute. Be interesting, you know, to see what kind of looks you get. But I want to do this at these events, you know. People look at you like, what is wrong with that guy? Well, I mean, we were doing it here before they were doing it in Germany. I don't understand the problem. What's the problem? What are you doing? It's called the Bellamy Salute. Go to the Wikipedia entry for the Bellamy Salute and see classroom of children performing the Bellamy salute to the United States flag in 1941. That's interesting, isn't it? Smedley Butler talked about testifying before the McCormick-Dickstein committee about a business plot, fascist coup. Anthony Sutton wrote several books about the fact that World War II was financed on all sides by the same guys. And Ivy Lee testified before Congress that basically, you know, Hitler was cast for the part of arch supervillain. That the Standard Oil and IG Farben guys sent Ivy Lee to interview Hitler and friends. And then Ivy Lee was pushing up daisies not long after that testimony. We don't know our history. I wonder what would happen if people started doing that. You know, you go to these events and they say, let's open with a pledge. And you do the, you know, the Nazi salute. It's the Bellamy salute. This is the original salute that accompanied the Pledge of Allegiance, which was credited to, I think is the best way to put it, Francis Bellamy, who is the cousin of Fabian socialist Edward Bellamy, Mr. Looking Backward. And, you know, you have all that fun language coming out of the time. The Lewis Carrolls and the L. Frank Baums and, you know, the theosophists tell us that Lewis Carroll is the, you know, they think it's funny. It's his anglicized name flipped around. Isn't it interesting that the Wikipedia entry for these guys, like Lewis Carroll, it's not his real name. That's his nom de plume. Charles Lutwidge Dodson. So you take Charles, anglicized as Carroll, and Lutwidge, anglicized as Lewis, and then you flip them because you go through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole, and guess what? There you go. You have a perverted, deviant writing things that children should read. Of course they should. Why wouldn't they? Maybe because it's satanic, I guess. I don't know. And that's probably not good for anyone to read, let alone children. There's more to this. Speaking of the psychological warfare, theosophical types have talked about how, you know, it's interesting that these kinds of things appeal not just to children, but to people of all ages, and there are reasons for that. And I intend to get to that sooner than later this year as we talk about war, because that's an essential component. It's just stories, Chris. What's the problem? What's the harm in that? A lot, actually, it turns out. And there's a reason why sinister deviants want to write children's books that aren't just for children anymore. So there was a lot of that stuff happening at the turn of the 20th century, the looking backward type stuff, the through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole kind of stuff, turning the history of America inside out in a variety of ways. But I think it would be interesting if we could have an honest conversation in popular events. What is the way to do that? What is the way to get people's attention? You know, this was happening here before it was happening in Nazi Germany. Can you prove that? Yeah, it's right on Wikipedia. Here is an image you can see. And the caption reads, Bellamy salutes in 1917 at a Fifth Avenue ceremony opposite the Union League Club. Reviewing stand during the recent Wake Up America celebration where thousands marched in the procession. 1917. Is that Mussolini's deal? Is that Hitler's deal? What is that? Which way is the palm facing? In any case, there it is in 1917 on Wikipedia, for Pete's sake. Another picture in the 1930s. Another picture in 1915. School children saluting the American flag, September 1915. Look at that. Look at that. You know, and we got all that other stuff to go along with it. You know, we got the fascists in Congress, for example, and on coin and things and stuff. But, you know, who cares? Details, details. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Welcome back. Let me disturb your conscience a little bit more. From the history section of the Wikipedia entry for the Bellamy Salute, the inventor of the Bellamy Salute was James B. Upham, junior partner and editor of the Youth's Companion. Bellamy recalled that Upham, upon reading the pledge, came into the posture of the salute, snapped his heels together, and said, Now up there is the flag I come to salute. As I say, I pledge allegiance to my flag. And what does the Bible tell Christians to do? To do this kind of thing? Anyway, continuing. Now up there is a flag I come to salute. As I say, I pledge allegiance to my flag. I stretch out my right hand and keep it raised while I say the stirring words that follow. By the time the official program was published, the Bellamy salute would begin with a traditional military salute as the first words of the pledge were spoken. Let me continue, lest we again be confused. How many people know this in America? It's been discussed many times on this broadcast, but the Bellamy salute was first demonstrated on October 21, 1892. According to Bellamy's published instructions for the National School celebration of Columbus Day as the 400th anniversary of the discovery of America. Note, the presidential proclamation called for this special national holiday to take place on Friday, October 21, rather than October 12. Waiting 9 additional days accounted for all but 2 of the days which had been skipped in 1752, moving the United States from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar. The goal was to mark a full 400 years passing with a true work holiday, thus avoiding events falling on Saturday, Sunday. At least that's the explainer. With an already established tradition celebrating Columbus having landed on October 12, New York City opted to schedule 3 special parades and several VIP celebrations, with their events taking place on October 11, 12, and 13, 1892. So, from the official program regarding the planned flag salute, this is from the Youth's Companion, 65, in 1892. At a signal from the principal, the pupils in ordered ranks, hands to the side, face the flag. Who knew that? I mean, how many people know that we had Hitler Youth in America before Hitler had Hitler Youth? Another signal is given. Every pupil gives the flag the military salute, right hand lifted, palm downward, to align with the forehead and close to it. Standing thus, all repeat together, slowly, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. At the words, to my flag, the right hand is extended gracefully, palm upward, toward the flag, and remains in this gesture till the end of the affirmation, whereupon all hands immediately drop to the side. Sieg Heil. Welcome to, another Sacred Cow Tipping episode of American History. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.